Well, tonight we're going to focus our attention on the subject of prayer. And Richard very kindly read Matthew 6, verses 5 through to 14 for us, which is a passage all about prayer. Now, we're going to reference this passage at least once, but we are going to kind of surf about a little bit in the Bible tonight and pick up one or two other references from elsewhere. And we're going to be thinking about the principles of prayer. You see, tonight is the last week of Preacher's Choice. It always fears me with dread when given a preacher's choice because there's so much you can choose from and you're always worried that you're classed with somebody before. And as I've been the last one, I've been waiting in anticipation each week to see whether the subject I was going to speak on has been spoken on. And thankfully, Lord willing, it hasn't. But our title for this evening is Principles of Prayer. It's there up on the screen for you and at home. Because you see, prayer is very much the foundation of a relationship with Christ. It's the way we communicate with our Saviour. It provides us with a healthy balance and it enables us to spiritually grow. And your prayer life is very revealing. Because it reveals how much you really want a relationship with God. And it also reveals how much you really depend on God. So let me ask you, if I may, how is your prayer life at the moment? Now, I'm not here tonight to lecture you or to make you feel guilty. But I do want you to think quite carefully about it and to give it some thought. Because you see, if I was to answer my own question, then I'd probably say that my prayer life is very much like my school reports. See, my school reports very much often used to say the same thing over and over again. Something like, Ben is a very likeable lad, but he needs to concentrate more. He can do better. It's pretty much a repeated phrase throughout my school reports, regardless of which teacher it was, apart from that of PE. So why couldn't I have the same motivation in PE as I did in the rest of the classroom subjects? I probably guess that question still remains unanswered today. Like I shared with us on Tuesday night for those that were there, quite often we start well, but when the going gets tough, it's all too easy to perhaps just give up. We perhaps don't put the effort in that we should do, or we give it the dedication that it rightly deserves. That's a little like my prayer life, to be honest. And I imagine I'm not alone. So do you push aside your prayer times when other priorities arise? Or do you set off with good intentions and then perhaps fall at the first hurdle? Because you see, our prayer life is important. Because it's an opportunity to communicate with God. It's an opportunity to speak directly with our Father in heaven. I think if you had someone to speak to, say a member of your family, then you'd say it, wouldn't you? You wouldn't, I doubt you would lack the time to speak to a member of your own household. You would find a way to speak to them. So why do we so easily give up opportunities to speak with our God? Well, tonight we're going to look at just six principles that should help us with prayer. And as we follow these principles, the aim is that they'll help you to grow in your prayer life. They'll help you in your prayer life and they'll help you to grow closer to God. So let's look at the first one. Pray with a plan. Now, it's important to play with a play. Oh, I knew we're going to get tongue-tied with a few of these. It's important to pray with a plan. See, I've got my teeth back in. And we all know the saying, I'm sure, don't we? Being failure to prepare is being prepared to fail. If you don't have a plan for prayer, then perhaps you're unlikely to pray on a regular basis. Now, this doesn't mean that we just stop praying spontaneously all perhaps when called, because we're all very good when we get those messages through or emails from Phil, can we pray for such a, so I'm sure we, I know that I drop most things and start praying, and I'm sure I'm not alone, and others do that too. But what we need to do is engage in regular daily prayer time, and we should adopt a plan. So with that in mind, have a specific time and a place. I can't stress the importance of trying to maintain this specific time and a place set aside for prayer each day. Build it into your daily routine. I know that could be tricky, but try and make it a priority. Jesus had a specific time and place for prayer. Mark 1:35 reads, "Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed." Early in the morning and of a solitary place. That was Jesus' time and place in this occasion here. A time and a place where he could be uninterrupted. Now, I appreciate finding a solitary place in a house full of children, I'll let you determine what age they are, can be hard. However, if you can, find that specific place or that room or even just a chair where you can pray. Wherever it is you decide, try and get some uninterrupted time for prayer. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. Come on, Ben, that's impossible. I've got to work at least 8 hours every day. I've got to pay the bills. I've got to eat my meals. I've got to talk to my spouse. I've got to clean the house. And I've got 100 other things to do each and every week. But Jesus modeled for us the kind of life we are to live in dependence of the Father. Jesus prayed frequently. He prayed quietly and he committed himself to it. He would spend many a night in prayer, praying for others. Luke 6, verse 12 reads of one. "On one of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God." Despite all that was going on in his life, Jesus prayed. Because prayer is not optional. It's not just an optional activity for those believers who are perhaps a bit more committed. It's a necessity for every believer because it acknowledges our total dependence on God. And believe me, if you think you can handle life on your own, well, you've a shock coming your way. Your prayer life is important. So make a plan. Have a specific time and a place. Secondly, have a structure or a format. Now, for the sake of providing an example, here's a structure that I try and use every now and again. I'm not saying it's right, but it's one I use, and it's called the 20-20. 20 minutes in God's word, 20 minutes in prayer. And I try and do that in my study on a comfy sofa. During the 6 weeks holiday, I try and close my door, but I know at least one child who will walk in. I won't tell you who she is, but you know her well. I've known others to get up. They perhaps grab a drink before then opening God's word. And then once they've finished, they grab their jacket and they head out the door. And once they're out the door, they then go for a 20-minute prayer walk around their estate. Because reading scripture helps us to grow and to know God. It brings life to our prayers. If you want a more effective conversation with God, then read scripture. Let David's words in the Psalms strengthen your prayers. Stop in the Gospels to pray over a verse that strikes you, asking God to work that truth into your heart. Let the words of Paul's letters give you specific prayer requests for you and the people you love. Reading scripture will certainly aid your prayer life. Make it a part of your schedule. Can I encourage you to set aside a specific time and a place for prayer? A time each and every day for just you and the Lord. Because if you can, then I'm sure it will change your life. Secondly tonight, pray with a purpose. It's equally as important to have a purpose to your prayers. Because you want to ensure that your prayer time has some balance. Again, there are lots of ways to achieve this. Acts is a good method. I've spelt it correctly, Gaz. So using Acts will make sure you have this proper balance in your prayer life. Now, I know many of you know this already, but it's always good to be reminded. So what does it stand for? Well, it's there on your screen. The letter A stands for adoration. Begin your time in prayer with adoration. Praise God for who he is and for what he has done, is doing, and will do. Psalm 29, verse 2 is a reference there. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due to his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Then the letter C stands for confession. Spend time confessing your sins. Come before the Lord in confession and ask for God for his forgiveness. We've been looking at that verse in our series in the morning in 1 John. In 1 John 1, verse 9, it reads, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Then there's the T, thanksgiving. Thank God for his many blessings. We must always have a thankful heart. We must thank God for his many gifts. Despite the difficulties we face, we should always find a reason to thank God. This will then help us not to compare ourselves with others, because we should never compare ourselves and worry about what they have compared to what someone else has. And in the same way, we shouldn't complain about what we have or don't have. We should always be thankful to God in all circumstances. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 18 says just that. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And then last but not least, there's the S. Supplication. Bring your requests before God. James 4 verse 2 is the reference there. You do not have because you do not ask God. If you don't have forgiveness, it's because you haven't asked for it. If you don't have victory over your sin, then it's because you haven't asked for it. Many times the reason you don't have something is because you don't ask. Asking is crucial. Not just because it's rewarding or can be rewarding, but because it's a privilege. As a Christian, the privilege we have is that when we ask, our Father in heaven listens. He hears us and he listens to us. So it's important to have a purpose to your prayers. Don't just pray for things, but spend time in adoration, confession, and thanksgiving. Thirdly, pray in the name of Jesus. That's the third principle for us to consider this evening. Pray in the name of Jesus. You can pray day and night if you want, but if you don't pray in Jesus' name, then your prayers aren't going anywhere. And that should be a pretty simple concept to grasp, really. It makes sense. Imagine you recognize someone in the crowd and you want their attention. For argument's sake, let's call them Ruth. Unless you call her by name, she won't hear you. She certainly won't answer you if you call her by a different name either. So what does it mean to pray in Jesus' name? Are these just magic words? Words which you add to just the end of your prayers just to make them work? No, it means much more than that. So what does it mean when we pray in the name of Jesus? First of all, it means to pray with Jesus as your mediator. The reference here, 1 Timothy 2 verses 5 and 6 tells us, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all men. There are many reasons why we need a mediator when we pray. God is in heaven, we are on earth, we need a mediator. God has no limits, we are very limited. We need a mediator. God is holy, we are sinners, we need a mediator. Jesus is the perfect mediator. He is both God and man. He died on the cross for our sins. He stands in that gap between us and God. Jesus is the only mediator. There's nobody else who can do this. So pray in the name of Jesus means to pray with Jesus as your mediator. Secondly, praying in Jesus' name means praying with the authority of Jesus. Jesus says there in John 16, 23 and 24, which reads, "In that day, you will no longer ask me anything. I tell you the truth, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete." So when you pray in your own authority, what happens? Nothing. Nothing happens because we don't have any authority of our own. But when you pray with the authority of Jesus, what happens? Well, Jesus has been given all authority in heaven and on earth. So now your prayers can be effective. Fourthly, tonight, pray in the accordance of God's will. We must learn to pray in accordance of God's will. Jesus would never pray anything against God's will. And so we can't pray in Jesus' name unless we are praying according to God's will. So pray for God's will to be done. Whatever you pray, you need to pray for that. This is the second part of the Lord's Prayer, right after "Hallowed be your name." In verse 9 of Matthew 6 comes verse 10. "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Then we should submit your will to God's will. Pray for God's will to be done and then submit your will to his. Jesus set the example for us when he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. In Luke 22 verse 42, we read his prayer. Jesus says, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." We might think we know God's will in some situations, but only God really knows. And so when you pray, submit your will to God's will, not my will, but yours be done. So we've considered the importance of praying with a plan and with a purpose. We've looked at praying in the name of Jesus and in the accordance of God's will. Now we've reached our penultimate principle at 25 to 7, which is pray with faith. This is another reason God doesn't always answer our prayers. He doesn't always answer them, as we not always pray with faith. And here are three quick instructions for praying with faith. Sorry for those at home, that there's a party going on next door. And we can hear a fair bit of it. So if you ever hear YMCA or Yo Man, it's not me, it's coming from next door. But anyway, there's these three quick instructions for praying with faith. The first one is approach God with confidence. First of all, here we see in 1 John 5, verses 14 to 15. "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him." When you approach God in Jesus' name, praying with Jesus as your mediator, praying with the authority of Jesus, praying with the accordance of God's will, you can have every confidence as you approach God in prayer. God's will is revealed in his word, which is why it's important to know the Bible. When you pray according to God's word, you can approach with confidence, knowing you are praying for God's will to be done. Secondly there, ask in faith. James 1 verses 6 and 7 is the reference here. "But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord." When you ask, you must believe and not doubt. Simple. Doesn't make any sense to ask God for things in prayer if you don't believe that he will answer. You must ask in faith, believing that God will indeed answer your prayers. Thirdly, accept or claim there God's promises. This is the final instruction for praying with faith. It's to accept the promises God has given us. Look at Psalm 145, verse 13. The Lord is faithful to all his promises and loving towards all he has made. Now, there might well be some debate over the total number, but there are in excess of 3,000 promises of God in Scripture. And you know what? God has never broken a single one of those promises. Let me share a story with you briefly, if I may. So I was recently tidying our home, that's the story, and I discovered this drawer full of gift cards. You know the ones I mean, that you can get from the store for restaurants and various things. And I flicked through them, and I found that a fair few of them were in date, but a whole chunk of them were out of date. I don't know about you, but I thought that was pretty frustrating. Because it's like a free gift wasted. Now, according to the BBC, because I thought I'd do a little bit of research. So according to the BBC, the UK wastes £250 million a year on store gift cards. Some money is wasted on unclaimed cards, so they've not even been used at all. They've been purchased, given, popped in a drawer, forgotten about. And there's some that have got some change on, because that's always the way, isn't it? You get a £20 gift card and you buy something for £19.20 and there's 80p left on the card or whatever it is. So some of them is just leftover change. Now, I imagine, I hope I'm not alone, but I'm going to admit I've got a few cards that I've not redeemed over the time. And I imagine that you may have some sitting in drawers at home or perhaps in wallets too. What a shame. Because these gift cards have already been paid for. They're just waiting there to be used. Well, isn't that the same with God's promises? God's promises, in some measure, are like these unused gift cards. God has given us over 3,000 gift cards, and Jesus has already paid for them all. So don't let them go to waste. Don't let them go unclaimed. Accept God's promises and turn his promises into your prayers. And if you do, then I'm sure you will see many remarkable answers to your prayers. As we draw to a close this evening, our final principle of prayer is pray with perseverance. See, perseverance and faith go together. Sometimes we don't get what we ask. Sometimes we stop short or lack faith. When we pray with little conviction, our prayers perhaps become half-hearted. It's like we're just going through the motions and kind of like, well, I'm praying because I feel I have to. We give up on prayer because we don't really believe. God wants us to persevere in prayer. It almost sounds like we're in Haggai again. He wants us to all persevere in prayer. So here's just two instructions which are found in the Gospels. Firstly, keep on asking, seeking, knocking. I'm sure you know the passage well. Matthew 7, 7 and 8. Ask and it be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks the door will be opened. Translate the command slightly differently. Keep asking and it will be given to you. Keep seeking and you will find. Keep knocking and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who keeps asking receives, he who keeps seeking finds, and to him who keeps knocking, the door will be opened. So we must keep on asking, seeking, and knocking. We must persevere in prayer. So always pray. Never, never give up. Luke 18, verse 1. When Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and never give up. He goes on to tell a parable about a woman and an unjust judge. That was the second mouthful I was worried about. The judge neither feared God nor cared about men. The woman came to the judge with a plea. She came over and over again. Again and again he refused her plea until finally he granted her request. He granted her request on the grounds that she kept bothering him. Well, in contrast, God is not an unjust judge. He's our loving Father. So if an unjust judge grants a persistent request, how much more then will your loving Father answer when you come to him? That's the confidence that we have in prayer. That's the confidence that helps us to persevere in prayer. God doesn't want you to ask once and then forget about it. Perseverance is part of faith. We need to keep asking, seeking, knocking, and we should always pray and never give up. So as we draw to a close this evening, what can we take away with us? Well, my prayer for you all is that these principles of prayer may indeed prove useful. I'm sure there's times when I've not told you anything you didn't already know, but it's always good to be reminded. I hope that they will help you consider your personal prayer life, because it is important. It's an opportunity to communicate with God. And God invites us to come to him through his son, Jesus. He invites us through the name of Jesus to ask him for things in prayer. Now, that's incredible. So let's take advantage of this amazing privilege in prayer. Let's follow God's instructions so that we might be effective in prayer. Let's be effective in prayer for God's glory. Let's be effective in prayer for God's kingdom. And let's be effective in prayer for the good of those around us. God asks us to pray. So let's do it. Lord, help us to pray and help us to do it right. Amen.